The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Time to turn our attention to our business interview. Partly business, but we're going to talk something on crime as well this morning. Our discussion, business sector on crime reduction, and we have Rival Chatagoon, the president of the Owners Dealer Association, the ODA Media. Good morning to you, Mr. Chatagoon, as we get set to start this interview this morning. For those of you just locking in this morning, I just want to remind persons that it is the Morning Rumble here, and Mr. Chatagoon is on with me this morning, and he is the president once again of the ODA, which is the Owner Dealers Association of Trinidad and Tobago. So, Mr. Chatagoon, good morning to you and welcome to the Morning Rumble.
Good morning, Davey. Good morning to your listeners and your viewers online. How are you this morning?
Well, I am in a good space this morning. Totally good space this morning. I understand there's some inclement weather outside. When I got in, it was nice and warm, you know. Felt like it was going to be a sunny day. But, you know. And then there was some news. The murder rate has reduced. Not by much. For the same period last year to this year. Not by much, maybe. Five here or there. But still, it's a little less, you know. And it's good to have you guys on this morning. Let's talk a little bit about how your association feels about the reduction of crime that is being perpetrated by those in authority.
Well, what is the reduction of crime? So you raise a valid point. We're using data to create a narrative. And the narrative is that you look at 3 months of this year coupled with last year, and you're seeing some reduction. And thank God there's a reduction. But is it a reality? When one look at 3 months prior to this month or 4 months prior to that, you actually seen an increase. Mm-hmm. In terms of our organization, while we are seeing efforts being done, don't get us wrong, but we are not seeing any crime reduction. In fact, it might be contrary, because let me give you a quick analysis of something I did. I searched for robberies of a gas stations, right? And would you believe on June 15th, which is sometime after election, right? A Gasparilla gas station was robbed. On July 26th, a St. Helena gas station was robbed. On July 25th, a Tabakit gas station was robbed. And this is what is reported by media. I'm not saying that this is all. Well, what I'm saying is that we are seeing increases of crime in terms of robbery and even more violent robberies. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. Every time I come on the media to talk, I like to go and do a little research. And I normally go on the TTPS website and I use their figures to create some analysis as to what is happening. Davey, would you believe that there's no information suddenly for 2025?
There's no
information. There's none. And I'm sure that I would have spoken sometime this year already on it, and I would have used it to do some research. Because while the year is not completed, they normally give you like a 3 months, I think it's January to March, mm-hmm. or January to April. But you are able to go and you could do your analysis per division and all of this. Mm-hmm. Now, having sat in a couple station council meetings, I will tell you that they're seeing an increase in robberies. But if the information is not there, my question is what are we going to hide? Now, I have spoken over the years, this is not prior to election or after election, over the years I've been an advocate to get a curb on crime, because it affects all of our business, it affects our day of life, it affects our customers, our staff, our family. So we need to get it done. We need to get the crime reduced. Now, I think the last time I spoke here, we spoke about the new cars, right? Mm-hmm. They got 67 cars. My question to the public: how do you feel about it? Are you seeing them? Do you feel a sense of comfort because they are there? Coupled with what happened, I believe, if not last night, night before, where a young man, Kivish Pasal, died in an accident. And while that in itself is tragic, what is even significantly more tragic, somebody who tried to help him was also robbed and beaten.
That's right.
And this is close to Port of Spain. This does normally have a patrol car station at a gas station that is run by TTPS in its close proximity. Where are the patrols, right? We remove the demerit points for whatever is the reason, but you're not seeing police patrols, you're not seeing that presence to feel safe. Now, if it was indeed a bad drive or speed or whatever the public want to call it, I don't know, I was not there. If there was patrols on the highway, would that have curbed it? And my answer is always yes, because most of the law-abiding citizens, most of the country are law-abiding citizens. And from the time you feel a TTPS present, you tend to behave in a particular format, right? So is crime really down? I certainly not feeling like any safer than I felt last year or year before, to be quite honest.
Well, with the murder rate, is about 160 persons less. We had about 410 thereabouts last year. Now we think it's 235 this year, 236, somewhere thereabouts. But you're very correct with the gas station issue. I notice it from time to time. There are police officers stationed just before the diesel plant on the westbound lane on the highway, before the NP flyover. And on the eastbound lane, they usually park up in a little area right there by the NP gas station, which is in, they're actually seeing up, they're seeing. So that impact, that collision, they could have responded quickly to the site, right? Sure. And when these pass up, robbery wouldn't have happened. But here is a thought that I often wonder. This one police car, or these two police vehicles that are stationed there, one can simply say that when the time comes, these police vehicles have to go back to the station after the shift to pass it on to the next crew. So it's not a situation where, Mr. Chatagoon, that you and I reach for our shift. We are rostered to be on patrol on the highway. We pick up a vehicle. We drive to the location. When we reach, they leave. It could be a situation where the shift ended and they left. And they had to carry the car back, sign it out for the next man to get it. And that period, and I've noticed those periods when you're passing something, you ain't see the car. So it's like, I started to wonder, based on your statements, is it that's the case?
Well, you know, let me be very transparent. I do not know.
We don't, but I'm just saying.
What I will say is from common knowledge, because the accident happened sometime at 10 o'clock in the night.
Right.
Yes, do not work 6 to 2, 2 to 10, 10 to 6. In fact, they work either 12 hours or 24 hours.
24 hours, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you know, that being said, is that if here is a high-risk area, is it that you're telling the criminals, hey, from the time police car, go from there. You have X amount of minutes or half an hour while shift change, run your route?
That's exactly
Come on,
what we say.
We have to be, we have to plan better. You know, from time and time again, I've always said that the head of national security and the commissioner of police office have to be CEO equivalent, because it is running an organization. It's not just about coming up with crime plan, but you have to manage your assets. You have to couple with your human resources, right? We have, I have lobbied for more TTPS officers, and yes, we're seeing some coming in every year, but is that just to match those that retiring? Or is that to create a greater value for the service? We get police vehicles from time to time, but is that to phase out police vehicles? Now, the reality in any corporate organization is that you will always have some maintenance. And in terms of vehicles, that you know that, okay, every year my normal amount that I will have to replace is 5, 10, 100 cars, right? Mm-hmm. So then if you're trying to get more resources, then you have to get 15 and 20% more. The reality is that, is this a managerial skill? We know as a country that when we have rogue elements or underperforming elements, that we shuffle the pack of cards. So consider yourself that you're removing cancer from one part of your body and you say, hey, you can't function here, you're doing a bad job. Let me go and put it in your foot now. It's the same cancer, it's still going to kill you. So until we start a whole people accountable in terms of offices, match with facilities and match with everything else, right? And I refer to TTPS as what is your rate of return? Your rate of return have to be customer satisfaction. This is a normal jargon everybody can understand. So your rate of return is that, hey, we spend X billion dollars every year in your budget. Do you feel safer? How do you feel safer? And if you don't feel safer, what are we doing to pivot those resources or those criteria or those crime plan? Now, that being said, is that we are seeing a different approach where commissioner seems to be taking a fight to the criminals, because we are seeing some police shooting and, you know, some, you know, a little more aggressive sort of approach. And to be quite honest, that is what needed. Now, here's the other thing. We've also seen a little more aggressive approach with the citizens, that if you come to rob me, I am empowered now to kill everybody. Now, that is good, that is bad equally, because the reality is that people, this is vigilante justice to a greater extent, right? But how do you tell a victim that, hey, that you cannot defend yourself in a particular situation? So that I understand, but you don't want to have a situation that people taking a law in their own hands and then creating a scenario that it was in self-defense. Now, all of this has been on the table for the past couple of months, but I want you to understand that even with the FULs, everybody wants a gun because for one reason only, they don't feel safe in the country. And until the TTPS and national security and all the different agencies, you know, start to work together as one to create the safety, citizens of this day, and I probably said this about 5-10 years ago, that we will have no other choice than to start a fight for our own country in whatever way that we can.
What are your thoughts?
Seeing it coming to be.
All right. Two things. You mentioned that CEO equivalent should be the person at the head. And let's elaborate a bit more on that CEO equivalent or mindset, because it is a business you're running, more or less. You are being given an injection of billions at the end of the year, at the beginning of a financial year, where you have to use this for the running and smooth day-to-day runnings of the police service in crime-fighting initiatives. Explain a little more, because I like it. Because at one point in time, we always have the notion that you had to be a police officer to move up the ranks. So you understand law enforcement, because that's basically where you are. You are gatekeepers to the law. So you understand that. But then where's your mental capacity to understand that this is also an organized business with customers? People don't see the police and the citizenry is that the police providing a service and you are a customer. When you walk into a police station, you don't get the sense of, I'm a customer here, that I should be treated that way. You don't get that sense. So let's talk a little bit about how that can assist with the crime problems in this country and citizens trusting police officers. The CEO mindset. Elaborate a little more about that for our listeners.
So the CEO mindset, first we have to differentiate, right? It's not a qualification. Because you could be qualified, you have your MBA, PhD, and can run a snow cone machine. Not even a snow cone car, but a snow cone machine, right? You have to have some experience. Now, both could work together. If you have somebody who's professional in terms of security crime fighting, as they say, would have gone through the ranks, right? In terms of running the organization, but now have a different department or different person, someone managing the facilities, right? Then that is the balance. So the CEO's position is that, hey, listen, we are getting or spending a certain amount of money every year. What are we getting for it? And as a rate of return. So we get 10 billion for the year. Are we feeling safer? What are our raw materials putting into the plant? And the plant now is the TTPS. Do we get cars? Are we getting human resources? Are we building police station? Whatever. Are we seeing a crime reduction? And if you're not, if you're spending money into youth development, right? Mm-hmm. Are you and that spend now is not something today for tomorrow, but in 5 years, are you seeing that result? And if you're not seeing that result, then you need to change that. Mm-hmm. If you want to have public perception and you say, well, okay, we're going to take all the boots on the ground. And I refer to this as, you know, the day of policing where they we had a full country lockdown and we saw the full muscle of the police. So then if you could do it for one day, why can't do it for the rest of 364 days? If you could manage it for one day, why we can't do that? What is in the media now? The Independence Parade. The Independence Parade always give you a show of force that you, hey, wow, boy, I did not know we have all of these resources. But why are we not feeling safer with it?
Mm-hmm.
So you see, your mindset has to be a measure of having a value for every dollar that you spend. And if you spend a dollar here, am I getting a reward for it in the short term or the long term? So holding people accountability now. You spend and you have a dollar value on a particular station, a particular division. And your customers is your population in that area. Let's call it 1,000 people. And every customer, let's say, have a value of a dollar for them, right?
Mm.
And they feel particularly safe. And then you match that with a different area. And then you have, okay, well, I'm spending $100 here. Everybody costs a dollar for so and so. That has never happened in TTPS. And I will tell you something, because I sat on the Arima Station Council for many years, right, prior. Mm. While crime was at the highest in Arima, they always lack resources. But in Port of Spain, where I wouldn't want to say crime was significantly lower, but it was much lower, had significant resources idle.
Wow.
Where do you balance these resources? Well, on one end, you have people starving for resources, on one end, you have too much, okay? What is your key performance indicators then per officer or station? If you're a CID investigator or a homicide investigator, how much crime are you expected to solve, investigate, or give some sort of information, whether it be a day, a week, or a month? I'm sure that we don't have this. If you have a ticket sharing, you know, as the whole country is crying when we see police on the road that they're sharing tickets, what is those values for it? Because are you measuring just by tickets that you're sharing, or are you measuring by road fatalities? So you understand that this is a very fluid position in terms of TTPS, but you know, these are things that have happened elsewhere in the world. And fortunately or unfortunately, we like to copy stuff. I don't understand how it impact our culture here. So we buy it in wholesale, as the people say, and realize it not working because we didn't incorporate it into our culture, our organization, our politics to a greater extent. So this is why that you try something, it work, and you scrap everything. So I humbly ask that somebody in authority could listen and let us have better controls from the TTPS to make this nation feel safer, because I certainly do not. I know some business leaders are saying that, yes, they are feeling safer and presence, and perhaps that is absolutely true in their area. In terms of where I operate, the answer is no. In terms of gas stations, I will tell you absolutely not. But we are hopeful. We are seeing initiatives being done. We are seeing presence, we are seeing some patrols, but we need to be a little more aggressive. We need to see the TTPS quite a bit more out on the road, because, you know, in terms of 10 o'clock, you see a lot of police cars during the day from time to time in various areas. But as soon as, you know, it get a little dark, probably
they pull in.
And crime don't sleep. We need to have this sort of thing happening 24 hours, because it is a 24-hour operation like our gas stations.
All right. Hello, good morning. We have a call on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Davey, and good morning to your esteemed guest, Mr. Chatterboon.
Good morning.
Mr. Chatterboon, I've oft listened to you, and you strike me as a very erudite and intelligent individual. And I want to ask you this question. In 1984, Oberon Padmore, as Minister of National Security, heard certain things about the TTPS, and he caused the Gavin Scott Commission of Inquiry to be there. It ended up with the Commissioner of Police being arrested and all of that. We go on to the year 1992. Mr. Manning was told certain things, and we had the Dutton Commission of Inquiry into the police service. We brought in Scotland Yard and all kind of things. We come up to the year 2016. Keith Rowdy calls Dr. Devisaran to have a manpower audit report to tell him what to do with the police service. That Devisaran report is there. We need to reform the police service. Why, for God's sake, there are parliamentarians in this country that do not want to implement the tenets of the Devisaran report so that we can get a better police service and a better bang for our buck? Why are they stonewalling this? And what are you, as a business interest in this country, doing to say to them, we have the Ramesh Devisaran report, let us formulate the legislative measures, put it in place to deal with this? I listen to your comments.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric.
Morning, Kwala. I will start off by saying that is way above my pay grade.
All right. And I could respect that.
I am not a politician. And in this country, we don't spend anything. We don't shortchange any sort of reports, to be quite honest. We do have really good reports. Ironically, is that could we ask, do we know what to do with it? Do we know how to implement it? Do we understand it? And the reality is when you have Professor Devisaran and these guys with the wealth of experience and education and all of that, producing any document, I'm not sure if people understand how to even start to implement it, to be quite honest, and respectfully so. I could be very wrong. I'm not familiar with these reports to say that I'm fingers on the pulse of it. But in our country, it has always been like that. We have in really good, intelligent people. In fact, some people in this country go away and act as consultants and implement stuff that works fantastic for them. But for some reason, you're absolutely right, is that why isn't these things not being implemented? I believe we could solve it enough. I could believe that we could do it crime. But do we have the will to do it? Do we have the right people? Do we have the know-how? Mm-hmm. And how do we track it? And tracking it is really the problem in this country.
All right, we have another call on the line. Hello, good morning. All right, call me back. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. President Trump put through some boots in Los Angeles and saved Los Angeles from being burned down. I believe, in fighting fire. I believe put more boots on the ground. In 2013, Mr. Sahara, Defense Amendment Bill, to put boots on the ground to save the population. The PLM said no. My answer is put all the soldiers. Okay, I served for the parade. We have the Army, Navy, and Air Force. They're supposed to protect our lives, but they're not doing that. Put the boots on the ground, Mr. Sagan. Put the boots, put the thousands of soldiers on the ground.
All right, thank you. All right, Mr. Chatagoon, I'm going to show you something on my camera here. It's mentioned that you don't feel safer in your area, but some leaders are saying it. So I don't know if you can see it. Are you seeing it?
I'm very familiar with the article because right. In the article, I am clear in saying that, hey, we have actually seen an increase in crime. But increase? Probably my picture was the prettiest to put on it. I don't know, but if you read the article, it says contrary. And this is what I'm saying, is that there are other leaders in the country, and I respect everybody.
True.
And perhaps they are seeing it, but in my industry, the answer is no. Mm-hmm. In my world, where we chat with customers and friends and relatives, they are saying that there's no. And if you go and look at those comments, Davey, you'll realize that the hundreds of people come and say no.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Saying that, mm-hmm. Hey, Chatagoon is a madman to say that. And poor me, who's saying that I don't agree with it.
Well, this is what I was thinking, and I'm happy that you're able to clear it up, because somebody mentioned in those comments, this man living in a twilight zone.
Correct. And the reality is, I mean, I've been doing this for quite some time. And I'll tell you this, people read headlines. They don't read the article.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much believe what I'm going to say. In Trinidad and Tobago, we have 1.4 million persons living in here. Mm-hmm. Man, child, woman, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe we have about 5 million profiles, you know? Because if you want to paint a story that you realize that all of a sudden, in some of them articles, is that, oh, he have a voice now, but nobody don't research Revel Chatterjee and see talking about crime for many, many years when he fixed police vehicles, when he was taking the commissioner to court for FULs and so on. So I have been in this a very long time, and it's truly unfortunate, you know. And I look at them as political trolls in some cases, because most of these comments, the people who I call them keyboard warriors,
they're
quick to type something, but they would not go to a station council meeting. They will not call the TTPS and say, hey, I see somebody throwing something there or robbing somebody lower down the road, or want to give video footage or do anything meaningful other than to complain. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, sometimes I read these comments and just have to smile and wondering if I live here alone. You know, it's certainly a sad day when we all want to do things for likes and attention and not for country.
And I like the way you put it. We're doing things for likes and attention rather than doing it for country. Let's take another call as we get set to wind this interview down. Good morning.
Good
morning.
Mr. Murray.
Tell me.
I think the time when Penny Beckers, of Stamp Authority, is coming. She can have the former Prime Minister jumping out and representing himself, even though he's out of politics, and doing things that clearly indicates an embarrassment, and anyone will come out and realize that his version doesn't make any sense. His version, because Mr. Lara would not have come out and made that statement if the intention.
All right. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. We're not on that conversation at this time. It is unfortunate with the situation between Barry Padarath, or Utilities Minister, and the former Prime Minister, Dr. Keith Rowley, with this TSTT Lara incident. But Brian Lara has distanced himself from it. He has removed himself. We are dealing with crime reduction, and if you feel safer. And as I told you guys, we are chatting with Mr. Revel Chatterjee, the Owner Dealers Association, of the Owners Dealers Association. He's the president, and he's saying to us this morning, based on, even though one article was saying something, he's actually telling you he does not feel safer. One of the things I take away from you this morning, Mr. Chatterjee, is your mention of a CEO-type mentality in terms of your KPIs, the key performance indicators. How are we going to know from various police stations how we keep those KPIs, how we keep check with those KPIs, and who is held accountable when those performance indicators are not met? What is the crime-fighting resources needed? How are we getting, as you mentioned, the dormant resources in abundance in Port of Spain area, in this division, to carry it up to the Eastern Division, to Arima?
So, I have knowledge in terms of how the police service work, I do not know how practical it is in what I'm about to say, right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm always subjected to be corrected from the more learned persons, right? If you have, well, let me call them ground troops, right? Mm. The actual workforce, right? If you have 100 persons in a division, right? Mm-hmm. And the purpose of them is to do patrols. How much patrols are being made? And then you have a time in terms that you would have I assume that these cars have GPS and so on, right? So how much times would you have passed point A, B, C, D, E, and so on, right? And that would be stops and checks. Because in private security, there is something like that, where you have some scanners and they do that. So that might be thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we have, you know, police have horse, right? When is the last time have you seen a police on a horse? Now, I do not know how much money is being spent for that. When was the last time you see a canine, because I know TTPS have canines, doing sniff and search and rescues and so on. In fact, search hunters and search seem to be doing most of the finding other than TTPS, right? When you have, TTPS have something called call to service. In per day, let's just say a station get 100 calls. Are you able to respond to all 100 calls? In what time? And these are your KPIs for that. Now, In private businesses, we go from top down. Top down meaning that the person who is ultimately responsible might never see situation, and that is the owner or the CEO, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing you have to do. So if you have SRPs or police constables, the person who is their leaders, their corporals. And now you have it batched in terms of corporals KPI, and then you have sergeants and so forth and so forth. And everybody have their own specialized functions to deal with certain things. So it's about knowing the TTPS very intimately, which I do not know, mm-hmm. and it could set up things. But at the end of the day, it's all about customer relations. It's all about answering calls. It's all about patrols. It's about crime detection. It's about who feeling safer and so on. And I think once we start to hold those things accountable and all these key things start to come in, and I'm sure that Professor Deuceran would have spoken to these things at some point in time, I'm sure that mathematically we ought to know, well, okay, in terms of this jurisdiction, if you want to say Arima have 100,000 people, is 10 acres of land, or however, square miles, or however you want to call it, and this is the resources needed to secure that area. And then once you start to do it in terms of mathematics, in terms of science, in terms of data, then you can actually put up a cost in, and you realize that, okay, let's say, for example, in one particular area that they may not have a particular crime, well, then we do not need to send that particular resource there. But they may have a different times, like in the agriculture, you might need the larceny and that sort of thing. You know, so it's about understanding the data, what it means, and how do you get it. And I believe it could be done, you know. All what it takes is somebody with the will to do it. And the sad thing in this country is those who hold office suddenly know everything and they don't listen because they look at people of lesser. We have seen some positions that, hey, we want to hear from you, and we try to incorporate, and it's welcoming. So it's never in between. It's either one extreme or the next. It's, hey, I don't want to hear nothing. And the other is, okay, let me hear from everybody and start to see how we could work. And I believe the latter is the best way. Let us hear from everybody, because the truth is that everybody experience, and not education, experience, you can pick and learn something from, even from the person who probably don't even know how to write his own name. You could learn something from them, you know, and that's what the consultation is all about.
Mr. Chatagoon, I want to say thank you so much for chatting with me this morning. Unfortunately, I'll have to leave the interview there as we have a few minutes just before the news and some commercials to take. But my takeaway from this interview this morning has to deal with the CEO type approach. I love the way you analyze the whole operations, even though we don't have the inside info, but your recommendations, I hope, didn't fall on deaf ears. And I have a lot of police officers and in senior positions that listen to this program as well. So I hope they can take some of the insight that you would have shared publicly, and maybe in their closed door meetings, look at it, and maybe they could teeth it. They could say, that's my idea. And tell it to the, we have no problems with that.
Because if the whole country will benefit from it, you know.
And that's the point.
Problem with that.
All right. So, Mr. Chatagoon, feel safe this afternoon. Well, to the balance of the day, try and feel safe, even though it may not be, but try and feel that way. And thank you very much for chatting with us here on Freedom. We will be in touch, and we will chat again in the not-too-distant future. Have a good one, sir.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.